All right, welcome to episode 64, part one of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. In April of 1986, Judas Priest released their Turbo album. You may or may not know, but this was actually planned by the band to be a double album called Twin Turbos. The record company said no to the idea, so the band used more commercial songs for the Turbo album and saved a few of the heavier ones for the follow-up. I thought it would be fun to go over the two albums, and to do that, I have a very special co-host that I really threw into the fire. Wait until you hear exactly what I did to him. So just in case you missed it, I released an episode or two in the past week, and audience participation is people that share the podcast for others to see. If you want to hear your name on here, all you have to do is share. So let's get right to this. My episode from 1 week ago, Somewhere Back in Time with Iron Maiden, Installment 1, with my very special co-host, the Weekend Warrior, was shared by the following people: Alan Bell from Scotland, Steve in Oregon, USA, Hedard Ferran in Montreal, Canada, the Liverpool Scousers, Stephanie Jane Gray and Don McIntyre, Andrew Whitnall from Sussex, England, better known as Georgie's dad, Sonia's husband, the Weekend Warrior, and as you might suspect, the man of many nicknames. Also shared by Chief Eddie in Moreno Valley, California, Reggie Oz in Melbourne, Australia, Melissa in Boston, Massachusetts, and of course, the Sassenach in Scotland, my buddy Andy. On Thursday of last week, I released my Revelations Installment 6 episode. It was shared by the Weekend Warrior, the Sassenach in Scotland, one half of the Liverpool Scousers, Stephanie Jane Gray, and Luis Mariano in Venezuela. On Friday, I released Revelations Installment 7. It was shared by the Sassenach in Scotland, Steve in Oregon, Stephanie Jane Gray from Liverpool, England, and Reggie Oz in Melbourne, Australia. On Saturday, I released Revelations Installment 8, The Cult Edition. No one has called me out on this, by the way, but the Roman numerals that I use. Apparently, I put 18 instead of 8 on the artwork. Oops. You know what I meant, though, right? I mean, 6, 7, and then 8. 6, 7, and 18. Now, this one was shared by the Sassenach in Scotland, the Liverpool Scousers, and the Metal Chat Podcast with Melissa in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, I know this may shock you, but I also released an episode on Sunday, too. I decided to wait until next week for this one, because I wanted to make sure people had time to share it, and I don't want to leave anybody out. So I'm sure you're wondering at this point, exactly how did I mess this co-host over? I think it's time I let you in on exactly what I did. Sounds like a great idea to me. So are you ready for it? Okay, let's get down to it. All right, welcome to Uncle Steve's Judas Priest Iron Maiden Zone. Today I have a special guest who I recently threw into the fire with Judas Priest. So first off, let me introduce him. He was on just a couple of episodes ago. His name is Matt, and he's originally from Perth, Australia, but he resides in Kansas City, Kansas. Matt, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I got to eat at Texas Roadhouse, my favorite restaurant just now. So
that's a good thing.
Food yeah. Really. Yeah. So when I say I threw Matt in the fire, let me give a little background here. Recently, as a lot of people know, I've really, because I have this personality that is very... Oh gosh, what's the word? Addictive. So I start listening to music, and it's anything's the same way. I start listening to music, and I can go on a kick of anybody. And you know, in the last month, I've gotten this Judas Priest kick. So I listened to Turbo and Ram It Down, which are two albums that are not as well thought of in the catalog, and especially Turbo. I liked Ram It Down because Ram It Down was them moving back into a heavier direction. But Turbo, for whatever reason, I don't know that I ever even gave it a full shot back in the mid to late 80s, whenever it was out, 86. And so I listened to it and I just started thinking, hey, that would be kind of fun to talk to somebody about this. And so I asked you, I said, hey, how big of a Judas Priest fan are you? And before a month ago, what would your answer have been to that question?
I wasn't a Judas Priest fan. It wasn't that I wasn't. I'd never really got into them, not for any reason. They just hadn't been in my little musical world. So I had dabbled in some songs. I knew some of the songs. Like right. I like Painkiller.
Sure.
I had heard Ram It Down, but for the most part, it was just songs that were cherry-picked. I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge on them. I knew of them. I knew that they were really big, but I just never listened to them.
Sure. And that sounds about right. I mean, I understand that too, because when I never really heard of him, I guess, you know, I heard of him back in the 80s, but you know, it's just, I got the luck of the draw of the same guy that I got, Live After Death from. I got, which album did I get? I believe I got Priest Live from him. And, did I? No. I'm sorry. I got The Last Command from him, and that's he's definitely a part of. I need to get him on my podcast if I could ever find him. But so anyway, I thought it would be a good idea to talk about these albums and just do kind of a, you know, let's see how we feel about them. But then I found out that you were basically a Judas Priest rookie, and I thought, well, this would be really interesting because he doesn't have anything to go off of. But you told me when I asked you at first about it, you had told me something. Do you remember what you told me when I first asked you about it?
I don't. You could refresh my memory.
Okay, sorry. You said that, because you said, well, oddly enough, I've actually been listening to some Judas Priest lately.
True. So, like, because I'll listen to different tunes throughout the day for work, and I'd been getting some of their songs coming up in my playlist.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of cherry picking through. Like I was kind of liking what I was hearing, but not really enough to go out and start listening to all back catalogs and stuff like that. Like I listened to a bit of Firepower, and I think I had 14 or 15 songs saved to my playlist, which is obviously pretty small compared to the volume of material that they have.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. So I told Matt, I said, here's the premise. Let's go. Cause originally, and I think people know this and I tend to forget about it at times, but I was listening to, and this is really what got me to listening to Priest again here lately. I had bought Rob Halford's audiobook. I listened through the whole thing and he talked about Turbo and he talked about, because that's when he got sober. He was a pretty much a raging alcoholic for most of their career up until, or maybe all of their career until that point. So that was the Turbo tour is the first tour that he did with them sober. And so I just thought, you know what, I'm going to listen to Turbo. And I did. And so hearing him talk about it and just hearing everything, I thought, oh, this is interesting. So then I thought, this would be fun to talk about. And then, like I said, you let me know that you really didn't have any background with them, any prior history with them. And I was like, okay, this is a little more interesting. So now you got me who's, and my first album to really, really get into with Judas Priest was Painkiller. Like I liked them, but that was when I was like sold out. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I love this. I love the heaviness of it. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to go through the album, both of them. Oh, I also left this out. Originally, and you said that you had looked this up too, that Turbo and Ram It Down were both supposed to be, it was supposed to be a double album. Turbo was. It was supposed to be called Twin Turbos.
Correct.
The record company basically told Rob and the guys, hey, we're not releasing a double album. So they had to split it up, which there's certain things you hear on Ram It Down that sound like they could have fit on Turbo for sure, mm-hmm. but which is what it's, well, we'll get into that. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through each song and just talk about, and I wanted to make sure and do this too, because I believe that you had a similar experience to me as I listened to Turbo, and it's been the first time in I don't know how long of it since I've listened to it. So, and this has been, you know, about a month on that we've talked about this, I guess. And I know that my opinions of some songs have changed. Some I like more, some I like less. And I think it's, I want to make sure that we go through both sides of that.
Yeah. Because so when I first started listening to this, I had no idea what, error in time that it was from or anything, so I was really blind to how this came in. And just talking about that Twin Turbo, where we learned of that, that wasn't until I'd listened to all the Turbo and I was a few songs into Ram, so it might have helped if I'd known that, but I didn't, so it didn't help me at all going into this.
Yeah, that's, oh man, that's funny. Okay, so let's do this. Let's we'll start now. Let me ask you this, because one thing I suggested to you to maybe get a vibe of where they were at. Did you listen at all ever through the last couple of weeks? Have you listened to Screaming for Vengeance or Defenders of the Faith?
I didn't, but only because I didn't want to be influenced by anything outside of this little period of time, whatever it was to be. Because like I said, I'd heard some stuff before and after, like I know what time period this is now.
Yeah.
And their sounds, that's one of the things I kind of struggled with, was their sound from different eras. And I didn't want that influencing
what I was going to. They have a lot of sounds from, almost every album changes the way they sound.
Yeah, and because the other thing, whenever I had heard reference to Turbo, it was never in a nice way. and so I was trying to keep as much outside influence out. And
okay.
Yeah, negative. So, I didn't hear any positives, so I was trying to keep negatives down.
I gotcha. So, yeah, I recommended that you listen to those just because I thought that would give you a, like at least go, okay, because you listen to Screaming for Vengeance and it was their hard hitting album. And then Defenders of the Faith came along and it was hard hitting to a degree. And then they went into Turbo. So, a little bit of what, my personal opinion is, if you listen to Screaming for Vengeance, it's like I said, it's a good solid album. You listen to Defenders, you can hear a little bit of the influence that's going to go into Turbo. A couple of the songs, you know, maybe some people wouldn't agree, But maybe just a tiny bit, because Defenders of the Faith is a good heavy album. But
that's what I was expecting, just heaviness.
Yeah,
like I'd heard some softer songs, but I was just expecting, you know, this is Judas Priest, you know, right. One of the the fathers of metal.
Yes,
and I don't know. At one point, I asked, "Where did Judas Priest go?" when I was listening to this, but
Yeah, it's definitely yeah. I understand that. So okay, we'll try to figure out how to get right into this, how to get into the first song here. So, I tell you what, I will go first on this first song. I'll go first on this first song. So, I'll give my initial episode and then my initial reaction hearing it, and then kind of what I thought afterwards, more recently. So,
yeah,
obviously, you first turn it on, and it really sounds real. It's very super synth heavy. This was the era of, at least I always put Maiden and Priest in a little bit of a same category, because when you hear about heavy metal bands, rock bands, you know, hard rocking bands, Iron Maiden and Judas Priest, those two names almost go together because they're so they stand apart from so many other bands. Just the names even sound like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in those names that makes you, as a music fan, think, oh man, this is going to be heavy, which is what threw me off of Iron Maiden for so long, because the name and the album covers. And but that's the same way I felt about this. So you turn it on, and you get all these synthesizers, you know, that, and then the drums come in, you know, and it's like, and then it's got that kind of catchy bass line going, dun 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 dun, and then he starts singing and just like, okay, a little bit of guitar and the synths are going on. And I thought, first off, I thought, you know, there's a lot of processed sounds. It's catchy.
Yeah.
And Rob Halford sounds good. His voice sounds good. You know, there's a line, that line where he starts going, then we race together, and he holds his voice for a really good bit. Ah, so great. So great. The verses are playing, you know, the guitars are going through the verses. Now, one thing I thought was a little corny on this song is when he's singing the chorus, he says, "I'm your turbo lover." In the background, you can almost hear this robot like, "I'm your turbo lover." It's just whatever it sounds like. It's kind of funny, but it's like you almost don't recognize it, but unless you're really trying to listen to it. But
I hadn't picked up on that.
Oh yeah! If you next time you hear it, just listen to what he's saying. I'm your turbo. You can hear that. I'm. You know, it's just.
That's all I'll hear now.
Yeah, yeah. This song is like a song that would be easy. It's easy to get this song stuck in your head.
Yeah.
But I imagine on my first couple of listens, I thought, you know, being someone that would have came along through their journey of the 70s and Screaming for Vengeance and Defenders, and then turning this on, you'd have been, I can imagine someone going, what's going on? You know, like where did Judas, like what you said, where did Judas Priest go? But especially if you just listen to the first song on Screaming for Vengeance and Defenders, it's just a world difference. But So after a few more weeks, I like the song. I really like the song from the get-go. But after a few weeks, I still really like it. And to me, the song seems like it has a bit more of intensity toward the end of the song, after the chorus, after the not the chorus, but the solos. So, but I really like it. And this is something I was saying a minute ago. I think this album might be a guilty pleasure type album for me. You know, when people are, you're embarrassed to say, "Oh, I like this." This might, you know, like let's just pretend that you knew somebody that liked this band called A-ha. You know, which might be a guilty pleasure for somebody, but like for me, this might be a guilty pleasure.
I would usually keep that to myself, but yeah.
Or maybe, yeah, maybe if they like, you know, a song by Kylie Minogue. Is that how you say her name? Minogue? Or
Minogue.
I was going to say Monique, but then I would have gotten. So, no, okay. So what did you think going in? This is your first real foray into a full album by Priest. What did you think when you hear the first song?
So I thought I'd heard this song in full before, but now I wonder if I'd only ever heard the chorus, because I knew the chorus, but the fact that there was synths in it, it leads me to think that I'd never really heard it, because it took me by surprise. Like I must have just heard passages maybe on the radio and really not taken a lot of notice.
Sure.
So that was a bit different for me. And I remember like still in the intro, about 25 seconds or so in, I was like, this just sounds dated. Like I wanted to watch Beverly Hills Cop. That's what it was taking me back to, something like that. For like the first time in 30 years that I'd want to listen to something or watch something from that era.
Yeah.
So then I kind of guessed. I was like, this sounds like it's mid-80s. It might be late-80s just because of the use of the synths in there. Like, I like the guitar tone, but all I could get was flashbacks. I got the Danger Zone song. That came to mind as well. Listening to like the little guitar crunch. I remember thinking that. But I like the song. I liked his vocals. Everything was kind of – nothing was over the top.
Yeah.
So it was nothing that I was expecting. It was all just very melodic and kind of straightforward synthy kind of rock. So I liked it, but it wasn't what I was expecting. And it kind of made me wonder, where is this going to go? This is not what Priest has ever been made out to be.
Sure.
So it was all very new. But I liked the solos and that in it. They're very basic, but they're melodic. So it's kind of easy to listen to. Like there's nothing flashy about it. And it was a bit of a less is more is kind of vibe that I got out of that. So I enjoyed that.
Okay.
But it was just a surprise. his vocals, everything about it was kind of straightforward. It was really just hitting me with the synths.
Yeah.
The lyrics... I put down here, it's kind of like 80s cheese. It's just kind of indicative of that time, like glammy, which is another thing I never expected from them.
Yeah.
To hear these sorts of lyrics. Now, I hadn't heard a whole lot, but of all the songs I had heard, I hadn't heard anything that was kind of like this.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading here, is it about bikes or is it about cars or is it about, you know, relationships?
And yeah.
That's probably a mix. That's the conclusion that I had come to. But overall, it's still a catchy song. Is it a different side of Judas Priest? At this point, I still didn't know. I was just surprised by it because I didn't know enough about them.
Sure. Yeah, the whole thing with them, the logo, the name. I mean, just as a music fan, being a rock fan in the hard rock area, you know, you've grown up and you've heard that name. I mean, mm-hmm. You're not going to be a metal fan from the era that we came from. And you've never heard the name Judas Priest. And it's a name that evokes, like I said, it's a name that evokes metal. I mean, you know, like, you listened to the Turbo from Kemper Arena, right? The show.
Yeah. After I'd listened to both of the albums.
And you know, Rob Halford uses that phrase a lot. We got 18,000 heavy metal maniacs.
Yep.
He loves the heavy metal word. And so, they're synonymous with heavy metal, though. But you mentioned something else that was kind of a you mentioned the image, because they definitely changed the leather. When they wore leather, but then they started wearing more colorful leather instead of just black leather. And yeah, their hair was a little more teased up. And of course, Rob had long hair when they made this album a little bit, yeah, as best as he could. He kind of had a mullet, I guess would be the best way to say it.
It was a controlled mullet.
Yeah, yeah, it was. He gelled it out. You know, he made it look as good as anybody could.
Yeah.
Okay, so going into the second song. So far we're in agreement. We think, you know, even though this is not what you would expect from Priest, it's definitely a good, catchy, straightforward. Here's something else, okay, because we both agree on that. But this is one thing I definitely noticed, and this is not any kind of knock. I feel weird saying this because they have certain songs that are not going to fit what I'm about to say. But Priest writes more simple songs than Maiden does.
Yeah, I picked up on that. Okay. Lyrically as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, now, like I said, there's certain, the Ram It Down has some better lyrics on it on certain songs. Mm-hmm. But if you go and, if you listen to Defenders, every album, they have some songs that are just more in almost like a, I'm trying to think of how you call it, like almost like a mechanical robot kind of Metallion, The Sentinel, things that are like you look at the album covers, you know, it's some kind of almost like a transformer kind of force. I don't know how you would even describe it, but the biggest, I won't say that right now. Let's go to the next song.
All right. So my thoughts, I was going to say my thoughts didn't really change from initial listens.
To, oh, okay. Sorry.
To later on. So I enjoy it. I enjoyed it the first time, and I enjoyed it the last time I listened to it.
Same here.
And I'll enjoy it next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It's not one that I would skip for sure.
No.
So what about song two, Locked In? What was your thoughts on that?
So my initial thoughts on this. So it started off with a cool, crunchy little riff. And then I just wrote here, keep in mind, I don't know what's coming. More synths with lots of question marks.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what was going on with regards to the use of their synths. I didn't know that they used them before, apart from the previous song. And I was trying to work out, why is this so prominent? Yeah. I liked that it was a little bit faster than the one before it. And I did like Rob's vocals in this as well.
Yeah.
But the lyrics was something, again, that I wasn't expecting. I was like, these are just kind of like cheesy lyrics. you know, I can't take it when you touch me. Feels so good I could explode. This is like glam lyrics.
Yes.
I mean, I know I might have said at one point in time I like Poison, but I was 12. I kind of moved on from that, you know, a couple of years later.
Yeah.
So all these years later, that doesn't do anything for me still. But, you know, apart from that, it was just like 80s mainstream rock.
Sure.
Yeah, my biggest problem was the synths, and that was on first listens. I didn't mind the guitar solos, nothing flashy on that. But I'm in the second song, and I'm thinking, how many more songs are there? Because I don't know if I want to keep on going.
Is this two songs in? Is this album almost over?
You know, no, that come next. I think that was the next song when I was starting to think that. Like, I struggled.
Yeah.
I thought it was grueling to listen to some of this. But then some of it might have come back to, I had a preconceived notion of what Priest was. I'd only ever read derogatory things about it, like, you know, people slamming it, making fun of it and stuff like that. But then lyrics like this didn't help it for me as well.
Sure.
So, but coming around, so I've woken up with this song in my head. And yeah. I was telling my wife earlier today, I've dreamt about some of these songs since. Like, I've played them a good few times. And
oh, wow.
I don't know. Locked In, I think it's locked in my head is what's happened.
Yeah.
So it's cheese. Do I like it? You know, I'd skip it on to listen to better songs, but within the context of this CD, it's passable maybe.
And the video is pretty cheesy too.
I could imagine.
I sent it to you. You didn't see it?
Did I? I
sent it to you.
I know I watched one, but it was too early for me in going to what everything was. I did like the background vocals in the chorus though, and Rob's vocals later in the song I liked. It was my biggest problem sometimes is lyrics. If I can't get past lyrical content or get into it, sometimes I just can't get into the song because of that. And I think that was the case with this initially.
So that's definitely a way that I threw you in the fire, because lyrically, this album is And I don't want to say, and I'm not homophobic, but they always say when you start a phrase off like that, that means you are. But finding out, you know, I didn't have a problem. Here, I'll tell a funny story that I've never said this story to anybody ever, except the one guy that heard it that was with me when I said it. Back around Painkiller, you know, we're talking about something, and I said, look, you know, I would never want to be a gay man. I said, unless Rob Halford was gay, and then I might would consider it. and then a year later, he came out.
but that's funny.
But finding that out, though, it really it puts a damper on some of the lyrics, you know, to me.
You're seeing them in a different way then?
You hear them in a different way because you know what point of view they were wrote. I don't know. It's just I tend to just go, you know what? It's a love song, but sometimes maybe it just makes me cringe a little more at times. I don't know.
Oh, see, when you say that about the love song, so there's love songs and I can appreciate the lyrics. I'm not against all, you know, love song lyrics or anything like that. But then there's cheesy kind of lyrics, like the glam bands are using. And yeah, that's what I got out of this. Because I've mentioned to you before, like one of the songs I had heard that I really liked was Prisoner of Your Eyes. Now, I like the lyrics and I like the music and that. Yeah. But I couldn't relate anything lyrically in this to that. So,
okay,
you know, his personal backgrounds and that didn't come into it. I just didn't like the lyrics is what it came down to.
I don't even I can't even remember that song. It's been so long since I heard that one. But okay, well, for me, the first time I listened to this, I thought the initial riff was okay, and then the guitars are real processed and cheesy sounding, and during the verses, during the initial verses, it's real poppy, and then I thought the pre-chorus is better, and then the chorus is even better, so it's like the song gradually gets better and better. And Rob, of course, sounds really good. He always sounds good. Mm-hmm. And so going through it again, I didn't like the verses at first. The guitar sense I can deal with. But I didn't like the way the verses sounded too much. And this is something I wrote down. I said, I think that Rob is a great lyricist at times and at other times, not so much. In his autobiography, he mentioned that the album lyrics for Turbo were bad. And I said, he ended up in rehab during the recording of this album. So he was obviously not in a good place while he was writing some of this stuff.
No, it was as a result of writing some of these lyrics.
It could have been. He was like, oh, I need help. But one thing that this album, it'll be a recurring theme of what I say, is the guitar solos are, I don't think there's a guitar solo in this album that I didn't like. Even if there's a song that I hated, the guitar solos were all really good. The one on this song here, it starts off with heavy guitar synths and it goes to just a straight rock guitar. And I like it. I was thinking, you know, that's kind of what my initial impressions were. I was like, this is one of the better songs on the album and it's, you know, okay. But yeah, so today I listened to it again, and this is what I wrote today, something really short. I said good riff at the start, really cheesy lyrics, the verse is good, the pre-chorus is good, and the chorus is the best part. And then after the second chorus, they have those background vocals, which is, it's just Rob, you know, layered Rob, and I really, really like that. I thought that sounded good too, so on that we definitely agree. So.
It's funny you mentioned about the guitar solos, though, you know, being pretty decent, because I forget which song it is. I made a note somewhere that I liked the solo and I felt like it was wasted within the song. It didn't really fit the music, but on this one, I didn't mind it.
Yeah. There's certainly songs that, you know, and every band has certain songs that are, you know, that something's going to get wasted in, but so far, my personal opinion, I was like, okay, you know, I'm two for two here. I like song one. And after some repeated, you know, and that happens a lot when you listen to albums, you might not like it the first time or two, or you like some of it a lot and then some of it has to grow on you. And this is certainly a grower, you know?
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because I listened to an interview, and it doesn't matter who it was with, you can probably pick up on what it was, where the interviewer was asked, had he listened to a CD by this artist that's got something coming out? Uh-huh. And he's like, yes. He asked how many times. He's like, you've listened to it. I've listened to it three times. And the artist was like, well, that's good because you've got a feel for it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it is here. I couldn't judge everything fairly off one listen. If I did, I wouldn't listen to the whole thing. So, yeah, it does take a few listens to let it develop. And
I think that same artist, I think I told him I'd only listen to it once.
I'm not naming names, but I think we're on the same page.
Let's just give old Feckin a shout out.
There you go.
So going into the third song, Private Property. Now, this is a song. It also appears on Priest Live, the live album. And I love the Priest Live album. I think it's some of my favorite versions of some of their song, of certain songs by them are on there. And I really, really like it. But there's certain songs like Private Properties on there. And when I listen to it, I don't think I've ever heard it because I've always not liked it. So when I initially started listening to this at this point, when we were going to do this album review kind of thing, and I was like, you know, it starts playing and I said, it's got kind of an interesting sound, you know, that plays at the beginning of it. Little, I don't know, probably something that's stuttering. Yeah. And then it kicks in and immediately I'm like, oh, this just for a second, it reminds me of Alice Cooper's He's Back, the Man Behind the Mask. Other than that,
yeah, I got you there on that. Yep,
yeah. And then I also said, it sounds like it could be a Dawkins song, you know, during the verses. You know, because there's like an I don't know how familiar you are with guitar terms, but this is one I've used a little bit that someone taught me. It's arpeggiated, where they just play, you know, they're just playing like one note at a time. So there's a certain part where I thought, man, this could be a Dawkins song. It's just, you know, that Rob's a better vocalist than Don Dawkins. And then I said, ultimately, the riff is very generic sounding. This song sounds mailed in. Bad lyrics. The pre-chorus is not that good. The chorus is decent. I don't like this song. And then I wrote, the guitar solo is short, but it's not bad. Now, I listened to it, and I wanted to do it today because I knew we were going to talk today. So earlier, I sat down with my laptop and just took some more notes. I was like, let me just listen to it today because I know I feel differently about different songs.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, this song sounds mailed in, bad lyrics, pre-chorus is not good, chorus is decent. I don't like this song. So today I said, the riff isn't bad. I like the verses. I like the pre-chorus. And then there's a part where he says, the pre-chorus, he says, don't take me for a fool. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, I'm too good for you. I like that. I think that sounds really cool. Don't take me for a fool. You know, that's, and then, you know, of course it's layered Rob Halford vocals, which is even better. And then I got to where I don't even mind the chorus.
You know, you've done a 180 on this.
Yes. Don't you touch. Don't get near. Don't take me for a fool. Make no mistake. Don't give and take. I'm too good for you. So keep your hands off. Private property. Hands off. Whoa. Keep your hands off. Private property. Hands off. Well, here's my next line. Will say what I've always thought. It's cheese. And then I said, and I think I'm stealing this quote from Josh on Talking Maiden. It's cheese, but it's good cheese.
Yeah, top shelf.
Yeah, I said, I've never liked this song, and well, now I do. Compared to some other lyrics on this album, these lyrics aren't nearly as bad. But that, so yeah, I did a complete 180, which really shocked me because I've always, always hated this. I've always thought I hated this song, and in just a little bit here, I'll tell you why. So I'll save that for it's a little teaser for just a few minutes. So what about you? Private Property.
My initial thoughts on Private Property. So I didn't care for that opening little riff for a start, but I couldn't pick why. And I just put, maybe it's just carryover fatigue from the previous song. So from when I initially listened to it, like part of this is all based off first listens. Mm-hmm. So that might have been one of the issues that I had.
Sure.
So the drum beats kicked in, and I've just noted, why do they sound like this? And I don't want to be in this album anymore. Like, it was kind of, this is where the groove was really kind of kicking in.
Yeah.
For the chorus, you know, I wasn't impressed. I just written generic meh. Like, it meant nothing.
It
got
is.
Nothing out of it.
It is generic.
For the solo, so I just put in here, I'm trying to be positive to like something, but I just can't. So I was trying.
Yeah.
And why did I agree to do this? Listening to the album. And then it was like, okay, good, this song's over. So I was glad that it finished. But, you know, when I've listened to it and followed up on it, so later on, you know, I liked it. And it's funny, I did a 180 on this as well.
Okay.
So I like the chorus. It's punchy, and I imagine things in live settings. And so for that, you know, I could just imagine the audience punching the air to the chorus, keep your hands off, Private Property.
Hands off!
Yeah, see, there's a spirit about it. And I wasn't picking up anything the first time.
Yeah.
Rob's vocals, nothing special, just straightforward, but I found them to be pretty effective. I like, there's a big fat bass sound that comes in, you know, with a couple of thumps around 320 mark or so. Okay. And I hadn't noticed the bass till then. And then I just hear the thump, thump.
Yeah.
And it became an easier song to listen to. So I don't know if it's my frame of mind or that I'm just shell-shocked from what I was hearing. I think it was probably more that.
Definitely.
But for the lyrics, you know, it's just telling it how it is kind of approach. There's nothing deep about it. I did like the solos. I thought it was solid and fit the music pretty well. And I do like this song now. So, yeah, I did a total about-face on this one.
Okay, that's funny. I will say this too. And this is probably taking it to a very serious matter, but listening to Rob, I mean, I listened to Rob's book. I didn't read it. I listened to it because I have time to listen. I don't have time to read. And there's a lot of stories. There's probably at least two or three, for two for sure that I can think of. There's probably another one where you're hearing him tell a story almost of where he gets taken advantage of sexually. Mm-hmm. And it's not cringeworthy, but you feel when he tells it, because you're hearing it from his, you know, it's his own voice telling you this.
Yeah. And first person.
Yeah. It makes you feel really bad for the guy. And sometimes I just felt like I was driving, listening to this, and I almost wanted to put my head down and not, like, I almost felt like I don't want to listen because I felt like I was, it's almost like you caught somebody telling somebody a private story. That they were, you know, trying to tell in secret. And so so when I hear this, so with that in mind, when I hear this, I think this probably, you know, keep your hands off Private Property in a way. And I know he did it as a corny sounding 80s anthem song, like, you know, like the way you said people throwing their fists in the air at a concert. But I got to think that there's some kind of personal connection that he has with that, with those lyrics, you know, there's gotta be
like it empowers him in some way.
Yeah. Like he's got to feel like, cause I mean, he's for someone as successful and talented and just all around awesome as he is and was at that point, he was suffering a lot, just being human, in the closet and all that. So,
mm-hmm.
Man, I love Rob Halford. So it's just, I listen to these albums, and I mean, I love listening to him sing. And I was listening to it in the car earlier, listening to Ram It Down in the car, and my wife just, like, about halfway through the first song, she's just putting earbuds in.
She's tuned out.
So, okay. So the next song, the fourth song on the album. So it sounds like at this point, we're still pretty much in agreement as far as we don't hate any of the first three songs.
Well, not anymore. I did.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I mean,
but I've come around a bit.
But you don't, I mean, there's certain songs that, I mean, to go to Iron Maiden, there's certain songs that I didn't like for a long time. And then one day I played it and it just, it's something that just hits you. Like The Prisoner. For me, it was The Prisoner. That's one.
Oh, okay. That surprises me because that was one I always enjoyed that.
I liked it, but it just, you know, I'm not as big of a fan of the happy Iron Maiden songs. Kind of like, yeah. I'm not a fan of the happy Judas Priest. You know, like, not a prisoner. You know, I could just see him. You could almost see like Steve Harris or somebody else in the band just
buffing away.
I won't say Dave Murray because he always has this, but just, you know, kind of singing and bobbing back and forth with big smiles on their faces. Not a prisoner. You know, and that's, so I don't like that, but yeah, but I definitely feel like that this song, it means a little more after hearing his book. It makes you think, you know, just the whole keep your hands off. I mean, you think he probably wishes he could have screamed that at people, but he has a certain amount of timidity. He doesn't like confrontation.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's something I read in the book, heard him say. So now the next song we get into is song 4, and it is titled Parental Guidance. And this is the one that you're going to take first. So give me your thoughts on Parental Guidance.
My initial thoughts on Parental Guidance. Okay, so we know where I've gone the first three songs.
Yeah.
Does this get any better? It did, actually, because I did like the opening riff. So this had a bit of a change. So his vocals are still pretty straightforward, pretty tame.
Yeah.
But I thought that within the song, they still work really well. And for some reason, you said the previous song reminded you of Alice Cooper. That's the vibe that I kind of got from this song, at least musically. So I could imagine Alice singing this in kind of the same way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I never thought about that, but yeah.
Yeah, that's just something, the sound must have come to me. I was like, oh, either I know this from somewhere or it reminds me of someone, and I think I just gravitated towards Alice for some reason. So I thought the solo was okay. The solo was okay. Again, it's nothing flashy. And the chorus was pretty decent as well. And it was the song that I'd liked the most out of what I'd heard so far. But then after a couple more listens, the lyrics are still okay. You know, they're nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
But it is relatable. So this is the first time I can relate to a song.
Okay.
So it made me feel about kind of how we were growing up and now an older generation talks down to a younger generation.
Yeah.
And the younger generation is just trying to find its way. So I could finally relate to something in this. So I liked is the message getting through? You went through the same thing too. So I can relate.
Okay.
So yeah, I really enjoyed it. This is a song, I'd listen to this again anytime. It was the song I'd enjoyed the most so far, apart from the really commercial sounding Turbo, which is just, that's easy to latch onto. But I really enjoyed this one.
Okay, okay.
Surprised me.
Okay, so so here's the first thing I wrote on my notes as I was listening to this initially. I'd heard it already a couple times, but when I sat down and wrote some notes, the first thing I said was, I already wish the album was over.
Oh, yeah, been there and done that.
Yeah, and then I wrote, I wrote that, and then I said Parental Guidance. And then I said, now I really wish it was over. So I said, the verses are not good. Corny lyrics. I get it. They are tailored to kids. I mean, it's not horrible, but I would never seek this out. Now, keep in mind, this is my first set of listens. I said, terrible. Verses are bad. Pre-chorus is bad. Chorus is bad. Lyrics are bad. I remember seeing this on Headbangers Ball back in the 80s, and I thought it was stupid back then. It did not resonate with me in the slightest, even when I was around 14 or 15. This is the most generic song. It's embarrassing to think that one of my favorite bands recorded this. and then I said, and worst of all, they end the song with the line, one life and I'm going to live it up, which is the first line from the song, You've Got Another Thing Coming.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they had to know how crap this song was, just trying to give it some credibility. Well, it didn't work. Now, today,
I'm just going to say, I was worried about being too harsh, but I think you've taken the cake there on that one.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Judas Priest. I mean, I love the guys.
I could tell.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with that, but you know, not everything is, you know, my favorite steakhouse. Okay. I get filet mignon, but it's not always great. You know, every now and then you get a bad one. So now weeks later, I listened to this song, which was today, which, and I've been listening to this album all week. So it's not like that, but this is what I wrote as of in the month of or month or so that I've been listening to this more recently. I said, I've listened to it multiple times over the past couple of weeks. I'm to the point where I can tolerate it. It's catchy, but the lyrics are still really corny. Mm-hmm. It's a very, and this is what I just said about happy sounding songs. The chorus is very song. We don't need no. You know, it's just, it's so happy sounding. It's, and I said, I don't want happy sounding Judas Priest songs.
I didn't know there was happy sounding Judas Priest before all this.
There's a few, you know, randomly, like, you ever heard the song Living After Midnight?
Yeah, you'd bump along to that, I guess.
That's a Living After Midnight. It's just, it's in Rob's gritty voice, but yeah. It still sounds happy. And then I wrote, this is the telltale thing, because I said I could tolerate it. This is the telltale thing here. I would skip this every time. And I said, and again, I said, the one life and I'm going to live it up at the end is an insult to You've Got Another Thing Coming. So, and I really, like I said, they threw that in there because it was just... I mean, it was whatever it was. And I mean, like I said, I catch, you know, I was listening to this song and I'm driving, you know, throughout when I work, because I drive for a living, and mm-hmm. I'm driving and, you know, I'm tapping my foot along to the beat and I'm driving along, I'm singing it. We don't need no. You know, and I'm like, it's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, I'd rather listen to that than I'm sure quite a few other things I could think of.
Yeah.
But if I was playing this album, I would skip it. I would
If this was the same song by a different band, would you be more open to it? Or is this a preconceived, this is not supposed to be Judas Priest sort of thing?
I don't think it's that. I'm not as much of a happy song guy. You know, like, I like to throw things back to Maiden a little bit. I don't really think of Flight of Icarus as a happy sounding song. But I do think of something like Can I Play With Madness is happy. Yeah,
that tempo.
Yeah, I mean, even though you listen to the lyrics and the, you know, your soul's going to burn in a lake of fire and all that, it's not a bad song. I don't hate it. And I don't necessarily hate, given everything I just said about it, I don't hate it. But it's just not, I mean, I can see it's catchy.
Yeah.
You know, and I can see how, who they were catering to in 1986 would have liked it, you know, 14, 15, 16 year old kids. I could see how they could get behind that. You know, I don't need no parental guidance, you know,
yeah, just, rebellious.
Yeah. I mean, and I certainly can relate, like, you know, you said you could relate to it and I can relate to it, but even back then I didn't like the song as far as the happiness about it. I always just kind of tend to, I shouldn't say always. I generally tend to be drawn to things that are a little darker, you know, musically. So, now that all said, speaking of songs I would probably skip, the next song is called Rock You All Around the World. Now, what's crazy is this song starts off with a really good riff. Like, you hear it and you're like, oh man, they're going back in the right direction here. And then it comes in with this super happy riff, down, na, 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 na. And then just keep, and it doesn't ever go down. It's just like up, down, na, 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 na. Huh. And I said, that kind of ruins it, but at least it sounds like a real Judas Priest song at so far. But you know, the lyrics are so corny, you know, I wish I had the lyrics in front of me, but, I know there's a thought where he says, he sings something, he goes, you know, every boy and girl like goes crazy with the sound of rock and roll or something. And I said, these sound like lyrics that would have come from a song in the 1950s. And I know those that I, what lyrics I just sang were probably not 100% accurate. Cause I don't know. I said, the chorus on this song is, you thought I was harsh on the last one, right? The chorus on this song is horrible. I said, they are trying so hard to make this sound cool and it is failing miserably. Now, something positive. The guitar solo is really good. It's a long guitar solo. It sounds like it would have fit on Defenders of the Faith or Screaming for Vengeance. But then it ends up giving us a verse and taking us to this crappy chorus. I've never written anything this good as far as songs go, but also I'm not Rob Halford, KK Downing, and Glenn Tipton. I said, this song should have been scrapped from the album. I certainly don't mind Priest taking a bit of a musical turn, which we're about to have in the next song. I said, but not when it is this turn. They went the wrong way.
I can see where you're coming from there.
Yeah. And okay, now this is my today. I said, great Priest riff to start. And then it goes into this happy sounding riff that is indicative of the chorus. The lyrics are super cheesy 50s sounding lyrics. The chorus is terrible. Rock you all around the world. We're going to rock you. The pre-chorus is bad. The chorus is still terrible. And at the end of the song, they sing it over and over and over and over and over. Please stop already. That's it. So what about you? How do you feel about this song?
How do I feel? So I put here that the opening riff was pretty decent. Mid-tempo rocker sort of thing. Straightforward vocal delivery. Nothing flashy. Like, I didn't get a whole lot of preconceived Halfordy kind of moments so far, mm-hmm. like screams or anything like that. So I happened to be sitting next to my wife when I was listening to this. She said that of what she had heard so far, that this was the best. And this is just before the first chorus had started. Now, keep in mind, she likes country and pop. But then she also went on to say, but that's not saying much about what she'd heard so far.
This is the best thing I have. But that's not, I got
it. Could have been up until that point. So I put here a pretty decent solo. Oh, this is the one I was saying. Maybe the solo is wasted on this song. It could have been used on something better.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
And then the solo vocals, that was something that's just, that's kind of cringy. That just took me back to the 80s as well. Mm-hmm. And the chorus itself, I don't know if you're familiar with Status Quo at all, but for some reason I was hearing them doing something like this. And I put here, I think I'd still rather hear Status Quo than go through this song again.
There you go.
But I put, it does fade out nicely, though, is how I ended. So I did have something nice to say about the first time.
Well, that I because the chorus goes on and on and on and on. And then eventually the chorus goes away and there's a little bit of a musical interlude, which is not, that part's not too bad. And I will say, I think that the intro riff, I think that might be the best riff on the album because that's a really good riff. And then it goes into that.
It's like, oh, God. See, so when I listened to all this the first time, I'd had enough at this point. I couldn't do any more of this album. So I had to go away. So I wanted to still listen to something Priesty. So I went away and listened to Painkiller, which is about as far as you can get from what I was listening to here. And I listened to Worth Fighting For and Prisoner of Your Eyes, like I was talking about before, before I could come back to finish listening to whatever the rest of this album was going to be. But so, like, I was not enjoying anything. But then when I listened to this the next couple of times, and it took me probably a week before I'd gone back to it by this point, just another straightforward kind of upbeat rock song. And so this is one where I can imagine this in a live setting. Now I've got no idea if they ever played these live or not. But this is another one where I could just imagine crowd interaction with Rob going back and forth with the crowd in the middle of the song just for the chorus over and over.
Yeah.
Just another Spirit of Rock and Roll or metal kind of anthemic song was my feeling on this. Nothing flash, but nothing. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. It was just kind of meh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like the solos in the end. It kind of surprised me. Towards the end of the song, I would have liked it just to have jammed out a little bit longer maybe. So I must have gotten into it at some point to want to hear it a little bit more.
Wow. But,
yeah, I don't know. It was a strange one. But all these songs, I've kind of had the same sort of things. Didn't like them at all. Come away, and I see them in a different light.
Which is cool. That's a cool thing to have, you know, to hear something and think, oh, wow, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. And then eventually you walk away from it with something that you could probably play again.
Yeah. And it goes back to, do you get the vibe for this? I had no vibe, you know?
Yeah.
So then I'd come back and it's like, yeah, this is all right. Is it the greatest song I've ever heard? Of course not. But is it the worst? No, I've heard a lot worse than this.
Yeah. And just FYI, and I think you, I know you listen to it, but I'm looking at the set list right here. When Judas Priest on their Turbo 30th anniversary album, Rock mm-hmm. You All Around the World is on it. the live song.
I'll bet they did what I thought. You know,
I don't remember it. I remember hearing a few of the song that stood out to me on that the most is a song called Desert Plains, because it sounds so much different to me than the studio version. But yeah. I was listening to it this morning actually, and I totally forgot that Locked In was on it, and Locked In sounds really good. So
yeah, I only listened to it once, the live one, and. Yeah. I thought after I listened to these songs again, that they held up well live in a live setting.
Okay.
But I'm curious to see what you think about the next song.
Okay.
Well, how harsh you're going to be, maybe.
You get to go first on the next song, which is Out in the Cold. So.
Okay. So the very, very first seconds of this song, all I could think of was Metallica Orion for about the first 10 seconds.
Okay.
It's got that, or however it starts off like that. Yeah. And then the synth came in again. And then I hear the Apocalypse Now choppers coming into the song, like that. And I was like, is this song from the past? Is it from the future? Is this all happening at the same time?
Yeah.
I couldn't work out what was going on because of the synths. So then, just under a minute or so in, the synths come in again. And I was just like, really? It reminded me of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, that does sound, that's a good reference, yeah.
Where they tried to communicate with the aliens, that dan 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 dan. That's all I could get out of this.
Yeah, yeah.
With the synths.
Yeah.
So then the drums kicking around, you know, 110 or so, and the synths are still going. And I've put here, I don't even know what's going on in my head at this point. I've got no idea what's supposed to happen with this song. Then the guitars came in. We'll be right back. I put, this would be good, but there's just so much synth. I don't understand why. I don't want this. It's just dated this song to the 80s. And I kind of didn't mind the chorus. I put, when Rob started singing, it's all sounding very American, which was kind of strange because sure. they're a British band.
Yeah.
But now they've got this American sound that I'd never really picked up on. So I put the solo was pretty decent. There's a nice little break into the second solo. But then there's more synth. And chorus came in again and it was pretty decent. So apart from the intro, I thought it was okay. And I could maybe, maybe come back to this. I did like the layered vocals and the change in Rob's register towards the end of the song. I'd give it maybe a C+ to a B, but I think I'm looking to find something nice to say about this when there really isn't anything appealing to me. But okay. I must have had some sort of a musical epiphany because this song was kind of growing on me. And it's one of the ones where I would wake up and this song is in my head. So I listened to this again last night and I was like, this song is brilliant. I love this song now.
Oh, everything, wow.
Everything that I disliked about this song is what I love about it now. So I don't know what it meant, but I dreamt about this song as well with the chorus in my head and then woken up to it as well.
Oh, wow.
The music, the vocals, I love the layered vocals, the background vocals in the second half of this song. It builds awesomely towards the end, but then it just leaves. And I put here, leaving me out in the cold again.
There you go. There you go.
So as soon as I finished listening to it, though, I had to go back and listen to it all again. It's got a real atmosphere to it. And just after like the 4 minute mark or so, it just builds into these solos and elevates the song from then on in. I just love it. So I didn't know that Freeze could be like this, but in a really, really good way. So yeah. I had no time for this song, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of my favorite songs I've heard.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. that's a real 180 there.
This is where you tell me you hate this song.
Okay, so here, I'll go through my notes here. Out in the cold. This is the very first thing I have written down. I've always liked this song because it opens up the live album that followed it, Priest Live, and I love that album. I've always thought it was a weak opener for the album, though. I mean, it doesn't seem like it had the energy to open a concert. I do like how Rob sounds when he starts singing. You probably haven't seen the video of it, but the verses, he's like, I'm laying awake at night. I can't get you out of my mind. All I can hear is my heartbeat and the voice of the dark, and the voice in the dark of some kind. And he says, where are you now? Things are coming back to me once again. And when he says that, he gets to the top of the stairs and the whole crowd can see him. So you hear this roar from the crowd when they see him. Cause basically at that point, the band is playing.
Yeah.
And he's just slowly walking up these stairs in the back. It's really cool. It's a really cool intro. But that's the live. That's live.
I did like the live version of this. I remember hearing that. And I was like, this is cool.
And this is the next thing I wrote. So far, though, this is probably the best song.
Oh, is that right? I wasn't expecting that.
The verses sound good. The pre-chorus is good. And the chorus is good, too. It's everything is good about it. The fact that this is the best song on the album so far, 6 songs in, and if this was on either of the 2 prior albums, it would be good, but definitely not probably in the top 5 on either one, which says a lot about this album, you know, and those albums, because there's so many good songs. And it might be in the top 5, actually, because I said the song structure on this song is perfect. It's got a nice intro that builds up verses, and the chorus are good, a nice break that leads to the solos. This is by far the most complete song on the album. I guess it's understandable why they use this as the concert or the opener for the tour. This is what I wrote today. I said, I've always thought this was a weak opener, but it's a good build-up. The drums coming in and then Rob singing. No one can see him. He comes up the stairs. Great entrance. This song has a good beat, a good change of pace. The verses are good. The pre-chorus is good, and the chorus is as well. I don't love the background vocals during the chorus. I just prefer it to be Rob by himself. I said, after the solo, the next verses that come in, it's like the chorus, like Rob really starts kind of, it's like the intensity builds.
Mm-hmm.
So But one thing I think, so here, yeah, I'm taking the next song, so I'll go ahead and just say this when I say going into the next song here. This songs 5, 6, and 7, it's like they went to a deli and got really fancy meat to make a sandwich. And then
cold cuts.
Yeah, whatever the best thing you could think of. And then they just went and got like the heel off of a couple of loaves of bread. They just got the heel from both ends and smashed it on top. They were like, it's a great sandwich, except for the surroundings, you know, the bread is garbage, but the insides are great. So with that, you got Rock You All Around the World is one bun, and Wild Nights, Hot and Crazy Days is the other one. So with that said, let me tell you what I think of Wild Nights, Hot and Crazy Days, which I'm pretty sure Rob referenced in his book when he specifically pointed this one out when he mentioned horrible lyrics from an album. For some reason, I'm trying to think of the song in my head. I said, I know why, because the guitar riff. It starts out sounding a little bit like Feels Like Making Love. You know, like, dun, dun, dun. I'd have to play it. I guess I can't do it with my mouth. And then it goes south. This is not what I want Judas Priest to sound like at all. Rob's vocals sound good, but the lyrics are terrible. This song sounds very 1986. Even in 2021, it sounds that way. The verses are bad. The pre-chorus is decent outside of the lyrics. You know, where he says, can you feel the heat? Something, something in the summer heat when the sun goes down. That sounds okay, but the lyrics are cheesy. I said the chorus is god awful, cringeworthy, to be honest. Can you feel the beat? Everybody's rocking in the summer heat as the sun goes down. Well, deep down inside, you'll feel your temperature rise. What the wild nights, hot, crazy days, wild nights, hot, crazy days. A lot of this out, and this is my first initial impressions when I was writing. A lot of the album feels this way. The guitar solo sounds cool, though. It's the best part of the song, and it's way too short given that. The way Rob sings the verses reminds me of something else, but I can't place it. Listening to this song could make someone angry because it's so bad.
I get you. I know where you're coming from.
So then what I wrote today. Again, the intro reminds me of Bad Company, cheesy sounding. Rob's vocals are good in the verses, but it's very happy sounding. You know, the chorus has that, everybody's rocking till the sun, I even use it here, everybody's rocking till the sun goes down. Sounds like it could be in an 80s beach movie. This is terrible. Lyrics are awful. What a terrible chorus. And then I said, Rob even mentions in his book that the lyrics on this album are pretty bad. This should have been left off the album as well.
Good vibe.
What about you, man? How do you feel about Wild Nights and Hot and Crazy Days?
I wrote here, happy vibes at the start. And then Rob's singing reminds me of something, but I couldn't put my finger on what it was. It's probably just something glammy because I've gone on to put just generic metal rock that won't stick around. It's just rock by numbers.
Yeah. But
the lyrics are just blah. And then, So I must have been wondering, do any of these songs ever get played live anymore? I doubt it. Maybe just Turbo Lover.
Yeah.
Because I must have been, I don't know, starting to suffer again after that last song. Oh, no, it was Out in the Cold. I don't know. Maybe I was just starting to get down on this again.
Yeah.
So for the guitar solos and that, I kind of liked it. And a little interesting bit of reverb was in there about halfway through. The song you kicked back in, I'm just wondering, does anyone really like this? The chorus is back. I just want this song to end. And then I was like, I'm not writing anymore for this, no matter what happens. And then I skipped the last 10 seconds of the song. I was like, I'm done already. So that just meant nothing to me, that song. And I start, oh, that's right. So I started thinking about other things. I was starting to zone out a bit. And one of the things I started to think about was When the Wild Wind Blows. So I felt like wanting to go and listen to that. But I was like, I'll keep pushing on what's next. But then, you know, coming back, I've listened to it a few times since. I was like, it's one of these fun type of songs, and it's got like a Def Leppard-y kind of vibe to it. And that's something I've picked up from this, and little bits of Ram It Down, I've also noticed the same sort of sound.
Yeah.
Lyrics are just these generically happy lyrics. There's nothing special about them. But I guess within the context of the way this song sounds, yeah, they kind of fit.
Sure.
So I did like Rob's vocals and delivery through it, and that I may have been a little overly harsh on it to start with. So it might get a pass, maybe. I'm not going to go back to it as a go-to, but it is what it is.
So you're saying you might listen to it again?
If you put a gun to my head and I'm tied to the chair, yeah.
I mean, that's a given, but I mean,
it's not a go-to.
Let's say next week you play this album. It gets to Wild Nights, Hot and Crazy Days. Are you going to just hit the fast forward button? Or are you going to just listen all the way through?
No, I'm probably going to skip.
There you go. Okay. That's all. Okay. Anything? Is that all you had on that one? Or?
Yeah, I thought the fact I didn't want to hear any more of it was enough on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So the next one you get to take first is called... This is one of the most cringeworthy titles of a Judas Priest song. Hot for Love.
Yeah, I never ever would have thought this is a song title of theirs till this little experiment.
Till you got your feet thrown into the fire.
Exactly. So I put the immediate start of this reminds me of Private Property again with that little stuttering riff. Or am I just imagining it? Either way, I'm not interested enough to go back and find out. Like, I don't really care that much. I'm not expecting to like this. And then the guitar comes in. It might be okay. Rob starts singing, but it's got that 80s crunching guitar riff behind it again. It's not too bad. And I did like the pre-chorus to this. I thought it was going somewhere, but then it went into a really weak chorus, you know, Hot for Love. And then you just keep saying Hot for Love, Hot for Love.
Yeah. Nowhere to run.
Just the verses are very generic. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You know, I like the pre-chorus, but then it's just straight back into that weak chorus again. I did like the little instrumental passage and the solos that led into the harmonies. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But going back into that song again afterwards, I got more into that little musical passage, but then it's just that dead-end 80s sound to it, the chorus and the drum beat. Pre-chorus is good. I could take it without the chorus. I'd try and like it again.
Yeah.
But since then, this is one of those things that, like fungus, it's just kind of grown on me a little bit. I still like the music. I like the harmonies. You know, it's the classic kind of metal sound for me, the harmonies. That kind of sucks me in a bit.
Yeah.
His vocals that he leads into with the pre-chorus, you know, it's okay. It grew to be a pretty solid song for me. The Hot for Love chorus, you know, it lets it down. But other than that, it's a fungusy one for me. I would listen to this again, but no, I wouldn't go around telling people I would.
Yeah, it's lyrically, okay. Here, let's see here.
And I'm not driving around the streets with the windows down blaring this song either.
Yeah, like I said, this is kind of a little bit. It almost sounds a little bit like a guilty pleasure album. You know, it's like you like it, but it's not something you want to go out and have blasting when you pull up. You know, no matter where you are.
Yeah, I love Judas. I love Judas Priest. What's your favorite song? Hot for Love.
Hot for Love. What? Wait, no, Judas Priest. Why are you talking about Poison?
Exactly. That's what it sounds like. It just sounds like someone else's song. Just the 80s stuff, the real glammy songs just sound like other glam bands. That's what I get out of this.
Another album that came out in 86 that we were talking about it's Constrictor by Alice Cooper. Mm-hmm. I mean, very much in the same vein as this album. So, okay. So I said, it starts with that real processed guitar thing at the beginning, but I like the way it sounds. It's fast. And then the main riff that comes in, I like the main riff that comes in too. The verses remind me of another song from Constrictor, Alice Cooper's album. I can't remember which song it is right off the top of my head. I think it's song number 2. Verses aren't bad. You know, the lyrics are generic, but the pre-chorus, the nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, nowhere to go. I think the layered vocals there sounds incredible. I love that, man. When I'm listening to that, I'm singing along as loud as I can. I love it. I love that part.
It sucks you in.
Yes. It just sounds awesome. Uh-huh. I mean, and then the chorus is, you know, the chorus is not bad. It's not, it's a little dark. Like talking about these other songs that are so happy sounding, you know, that hot, even though I don't like the Hot for Love. I mean, it's just kind of cheesy, but it's dark. It's not happy sounding. Like if he was singing it the way he sang Wild Nights and Hot and Crazy Days, then I wouldn't like it at all. But
sinister-y thing.
Yeah. But I definitely always like the darker thing. And there's some sound effects in there in the guitar solo, almost that sounds like there's some type of drums going on, you know? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, dun, 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 you know, stuff like that. But the guitar solo is good. And it's like the others. On this song, there's longer guitar solos and some dual soloing. It's a little Maiden-esque, but I know Priest has that same dual guitar thing. So, but when there's more, you know, songs, it's almost a dual guitar solo you could sing along with a little bit. And I really like that. And then there's a little breakdown in the song where Rob just goes, "Nowhere to run. Nowhere to run to." And he's like, "Nowhere to run." And he sounds, oh, I love that. It's so awesome. So awesome. All right. Let's see here. Now, that was my initial thoughts on it that I thought I liked it. I liked the song a lot more than I'm looking at the title than I thought I would.
Yeah.
So today I listened to it and I said the noise at the beginning is cool. The riff is good. Rob comes in with very cheesy lyrics. Still sounds like that song on Constrictor. The pre-chorus is awesome. The chorus lyrics are bad, but it sounds really good. So not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good.
Gotcha.
The lyrics sound like what I would expect from a band like Poison. So is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I think the lyrics are pretty much on the nose. Yeah, okay. I'd give that generic, generic glam.
I know there was a point in life, I think, where you were a Poison fan. So I had to leave that to get your... I mean, I've heard... My sister was a big fan of Poison for a long time, and I had to take her to see Poison in concert. Worst night of my life, by the way. But... or musically, probably the worst musical night of my life. But so I definitely am familiar with some of their lyrics. So I...
In my defense, I was 12.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, you get a pass there. You were 12. Now, I said there was some cool sound effects in the guitar solo, which is the guitar solo is really good. I said I would never skip this song. And then at the end where it's the nowhere to run part at the end of this before the end of the song is great, too. I think of the part where Rob sings it by himself. So, yeah, I would never skip that song. I really... It's amazing, though, like with that song title, how good the song is to me. So yeah,
I've looked at that and thought something totally different song title wise.
Yeah, exactly. So the last song on the album is Reckless, and it starts with a good riff. The verses come in. Rob sounds good. It's got the song's got a good beat. It's not a really dark sounding song, but it's not a happy sounding song as some of the others that we mentioned earlier. The verses sound good. The pre-chorus and the chorus both sound good. So this song, Locked In, and the other three I mentioned earlier, I guess I'd have to go back and look now, probably Out in the Cold, Locked In, Turbo Lover, and let me go back up here and look here. So at this point, I'd say Turbo Lover, Locked In, Private Property a little bit, Out in the Cold, and Hot for Love, and then this song, Reckless. So six songs that I like. So Private Property would be more of a on the fence a little bit, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
But given, even if you give all, if this is a 9-question test and you got 6 right, you're going to make a 66. So in other words, they made an F.
Yeah. Like this song. I like this song. So.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't even finish. I'm sorry. I didn't even finish that. Oh, sorry. That's okay. That's my fault. I said it was a good guitar solo. It sounds really smooth and well done. I said Glenn and KK's solos on this album are not the problem. Now, my last bit of note that I wrote today, I said, good heavy riff to start. Rob sounds good. The lyrics are positive, too. You know, it's kind of something, no one can stop me now. I'm like a human dynamo, a live wire charging up with power, something like that. It's something along those lines. It's almost an album that you, or a song that you could listen to and kind of, it could motivate you in a positive way, which is good. I said the verses sound really good. The pre-chorus sounds good. And I like the chorus too. It's good too. I've heard better Priest songs, but I like this one a lot on this album. And I said it's got a great guitar solo. So that's the gist of that. That's what I got. What about you?
Reckless. So Reckless. What I initially thought, I liked the musical intro and I did like Rob's vocals during it as well. Like I was pretty brief on this. I just put, it's got a pretty decent chorus. Kind of like this a lot. This would have been a good 80s mainstream rock song. The solos, I thought they were really solid. I enjoyed that. And at the first time, well, for the first time I listened to this album, I thought it was the best song out of what I'd heard.
Okay.
But then it was over. It seemed to go over really quick. And I guess that's because I wasn't suffering the way I had through some of the other songs before. And I just really enjoyed it. It was like it was over and done with before I had a chance to really get into it. So I'd listen to this again in a heartbeat. But then what I think now, nothing really changed. I liked it from the first time that I listened to it. And it would be a go-to song for me. Like, is it the heaviest thing? No. Is it the best thing? No. But it's just solid.
It's catchy.
Yeah. And if I just want a solid song, that's what I'd go to on this. It'd be this song. Yeah. Off the album, it'd be this. So I did listen to it a couple of times in a row because I just enjoyed it. Everything. Yeah. It's one of those things where I couldn't pinpoint anything out because I just really enjoyed it all. So the vocals, the music in general, the solos, and the outro melodies again. I was like, oh, I kind of wish this had gone on a bit longer. And I remember thinking, oh, what's next? Because I didn't look at any song titles. I didn't know how many songs were on or anything.
Yeah.
And then that was it. It was all finished. So I was a bit disappointed. I was glad it finished on the note that it did. But this song left me wanting more. It's like, this is what they can do. But I've had to kind of struggle through some of the other songs. And, of course, that was on the first listen too. Like, you know, I've come around to some of those since then. But so for this, I think I enjoyed it more. I got a whole lot more listening out of it after I'd heard it the first time. I struggled. Sure. And like I said, maybe it's because I had preconceived notions of what Judas Priest, you know, what they are, and then things that I'd read and the synths just really, really surprised me. Like Judas Priest and synths, I never would have guessed that they were synonymous with each other on the album. But if I was to, I would take Turbo, a catchy little song. The highlight for me, easily though, is Out in the Cold. I was really surprised at how much that I turned around on that song. I love that. Like everything I disliked become what I loved about it.
It's kind of an epic song.
Yes, and there's a song off Ram It Down that gives me the same sort of feeling.
Already know which one that's going to be. So,
do you? Well, you probably could if I'm liking this. What song would be off that?
Oh yeah, I already know. I can tell. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so what kind of I wonder about here now is, I know it's maligned and it gets a pretty hard go, but is it unfair to it? Like if I didn't know that they were looking for a certain sound, like they wanted this to be a commercial sounding and accessible, you know, piece of art, would you just kind of rag on this? Or if you understand what they were looking for, they were going to give you one type of album and then another type that was going to be heavy. Would you look at it in a different way and be more accepting of it?
I think that, I think it's like if you go back in Judas Priest's history, even as recently before this album, as if you go two albums before it was Screaming for Vengeance, you go to the album before that, it's not nearly as heavy as Screaming for Vengeance. Like Screaming for Vengeance was almost a 180. On what they had done before. And they had done some, you know, albums with heavy stuff, but they were known to take chances, which this is a, to me, this is the hugest difference between, and this is the difference between them possibly being able to be my favorite band. But well, there's I won't get into it all, but there's a few things that allow Iron Maiden to be my favorite band compared to them. And one of the biggest things is consistency. Because even though Maiden has changed a lot over the years, it's not so drastic.
And it's got that common thread running through it all.
Yes. And with Priest,
it's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's like I said, you heard Painkiller and you've heard Ram It Down, so look how drastically different Painkiller is from Ram It Down, even. I mean, maybe not the title song, Ram It Down, but everything else on the album, nothing is anything near like like Painkiller. So I think looking back at it, it's real easy as a fan at that time. And I wasn't a fan before that album came out. So I can't, but you know, hindsight, I've been a fan of them, you know, other bands when they do things that are different. And it's harder when you're living in the moment of, oh man, I just listened to this great, like an album. Okay, let me go to Kiss. They had, I got into them. They had Animalize. They had Asylum. The next album that came out after a greatest hits album was called Crazy Nights. Mm-hmm. And Crazy Nights, I don't know how familiar you are with all that, but Crazy Nights is definitely a lot more poppy sounding. So I can remember, I don't even know if I made it through the album more than once before I was just kind of like, I moved on. I was like, okay, we'll see what Kiss does later. I didn't even think about it. It was just like, I had no desire to listen to it.
Yeah.
And that's the same exact thing when I first heard Turbo. I listened to it and I was like, you know, I listened to Turbo because I'd probably heard it from the live album. And I got to Locked In and I probably made it to Private Property and I was just like, eh, go ahead. You know, Metallica was putting out albums back then and I wasn't quite into Metallica yet, but I was getting closer to being into Megadeth and things like that. So all in all, yeah, I think the album, if you just look at it as a whole and say, don't look at anything, if you'd never heard anything else from this band, which is a little closer to where you were coming from.
Yeah.
But you came in and you said you listened to it and it was not what you expected. But after all said and done, you came away and said, yeah, that's something I could listen to again.
Yeah, I'd go back to this.
And not
all of it.
Yeah. And even for me, as someone who listened to it back then a tiny bit and hasn't listened to it all since then, it's definitely changed. I mean, because I've always over the years just said, this album sucks, man. Turbo sucks. And I definitely don't, I wouldn't say that anymore. I think there's a few songs I don't like, obviously. But overall, I say it's a good album. There's some good songs on it. Lyrically, it's not a bad album. How about that? That's probably the best way I could say it, that I wouldn't mind listening to.
Yeah, there's music and lyrics. So lyrically, I wouldn't take a whole lot away from it. You know, there's nothing really to sink my teeth into. But musically, yeah, looking back after the first listen, yeah, I got some stuff out of it because I got nothing out of it the first time.
Yeah.
But it kind of excites me in a way because I was like, well, if I latched onto this, then what else in their catalog am I really going to get into? That's probably more of what I'm looking for or expecting. So there's a positive to it for me.
What's going to be interesting, I think, out of all of this is it's going to be where is your journey with this band going to go? Yeah, because if you can enjoy, and trust me, there's plenty of people. I mean, I don't know. There's people that I know of that the first album they ever heard by Judas Priest was Turbo. That's when that was the album that was out when I was getting into that stuff. So you can go anywhere. I mean, I certainly like other albums a lot better. But now I have another album to listen to, so that's always a good thing.
So yeah, I'm pretty happy. So I'm glad that you put this little task, you know, forward to me, because otherwise this is something I never would have touched, never would have listened to. And also the way I listened to it had changed as well. My listening the way in which I listen to music has changed, and it hasn't changed for the better. Because like I was saying, you know, I knew some pre-songs, but they were cherry-picked from different eras because of the way I'm accessing my music.
Right.
So it's been a while since I've listened to one album start to finish. You know, it's rare that I would do that for bands now, or for new bands. So that was good.
That's good, man. That's good.
Because that's how you get the vibe of the whole album and not just a song is good or a song is bad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I hope that you have enjoyed part one of Twin Turbos. There will be a part two coming in the not-too-distant future. Also, if you would like to go over and check out my Patreon page, it is officially up. It is at patreon.com/UncleSteve'sIronMaidenZone. So on that note, I will bid you farewell. So, on behalf of myself, my co-host Matt, from Judas Priest, from the Sentinel, and from the boys...